Happy Wednesday, everyone. Well, that was a little overly enthusiastic, but you know what? I'm always enthusiastic because I am back in LA, back with my pup, back in my apartment, back in the land of sun and plastic surgery and gorgeous people who don't work, just live their best lives and marry people with millions of dollars and live. Not everybody does that, but you know how some people are on the West Coast. And no shade. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, girl. That's not my style, but let me tell you, I totally support and like applaud people who, you know, have to live that way. Brava, brava. Anyways, everybody, good morning. It is I, Andrew Dimitri, the mistress of pop culture, here to bring you some stellar stories. Most of my stories today have to do with our queen, Kim K, and Kanye, and Hillary Clinton. But we have two off-topic stories of the queen herself, which obviously, not Jen Shah, that girl from Salt Lake City, Housewives, who was fired. And then, of course, our final story of the day, I believe it's our fifth one, is talking about Peter Dinklage, somebody who I love. And a bit of controversy surrounding Disney's new live-action version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And, you know, we'll get into all that. But before I, you know, delve into what is very juicy and fabulous and top of mind today, I want to say this. I think I've come across a really good system of putting out episodes for me. Because I used to do, well, I amend that statement too. I used to try and make it a goal to do 5 a week. And that's great and that's, I can do it. But I think I'm sort of going off of other podcasts that I listen to and sort of the schedule that they sort of follow. And I think I'm going to try for a little bit doing Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And here's why. I can do 5 a week easily, but if I do Mondays, then I have everything to recap over the weekend. If I do Wednesdays, I have everything to recap that happened all day Monday and all day Tuesday. And of course, anything that happens Wednesday morning. Then if I do Fridays, I have everything after I recorded Wednesday and Thursday and then early morning Friday. So it might give me it might give you longer episodes as well as more topics to cover. But if that doesn't work out for me, I'm going to try and do that this week. Obviously, we're on Wednesday's episode. Then I'm going to go back to my, you know, 5 for 5. With the exception of, like, travels, or if I can only put out 1 or 2 during the week. You know, shit happens, but we all gotta live and do our best. I mean, girls gotta eat, of course. So I'm going to try that this week and maybe next and see how that goes. And if it works out, great. And if not, then, you know, we'll switch it up. Because this, in fact, is my podcast and my schedule. And, you know. But if there's ever, like, a weekend-breaking story, which, you know, from time to time there is, I'll hop on and, of course, you know, put out content because that's what I do here as your mistress of pop culture. So, yeah. But aside from that, not much is new back home. It's a bit nippy here in LA, but that's totally fine. It's sunny and beautiful. I'm really happy to be home, really happy to be with my dog, really happy to go to my favorite eateries, because, you know, I don't cook. So I went to Mendocino Farms today, got my chicken prosciutto sandwich, as well as the amazing chocolate chip cookies that they made. and yeah, that's pretty much it. So aside from that, you know, let's get into it because there's a lot of ground to cover, girlfriend or boyfriend, or, you know, whatever you identify as. We live in that time. Okay. First story of the day, sort of the big shoe that dropped. And that is, of course, Jenny Nguyen fired from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City over offensive posts. Now, I was reading a bit about this via Instagram, and like Bravo put out a statement, but I guess, you know, I don't watch Salt Lake City, but, you know, I follow some Instagram accounts that recap all things pop culture based, specifically Queens of Bravo, hilarious Instagram account. And they obviously broke this news to me as well as TMZ and E, but anyways, the article I'm going to be reading this to you from is E, so I'm so sorry. It's very dry in my apartment, and I just got, actually, a friend of mine just lent me his Dyson purifier, and I'm gonna buy my own, but until then, there's, like, an intermittent arrival. I'm using his. And it's working, but I just set it up, so it's, like, a little dry, so sorry if you hear, like, a bit of frog in my throat. Froggy frogs. What's so funny, because when I'm not recording, I never have this, but the second I jump on here, I'm always like, I don't understand it, but, you know, the way the world is. Okay, anyways, this is the story. This is from E! Online. Jenny Nguyen has been ousted from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Bravo made the announcement in a statement released on Tuesday, January 25th, a little less than a week after Nguyen's racially insensitive Facebook posts from 2020 resurfaced, causing major backlash. Quote, Bravo has ceased filming with Jenny Nguyen, and she will no longer be a cast member on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the network said in the statement today. Well, yesterday. Continuing, quote, we recognize we failed to take appropriate action once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. The statement continued, quote, moving forward, we will work to improve our processes to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions. Just one day prior to firing, Andy Cohen broke a silence on the posts, many of which were critical of the Black Lives Matter movement following the death of George Floyd, calling them, quote, upsetting and disgusting during a serious XM show, Radio ND. And he explained that he felt the need to speak out after Sunday's Watch What Happens Live episode only briefly addressed the situation despite featuring Jenny's longtime friend and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City co-star Lisa Barlow as a guest. As the Bravo host put it, quote, people were very upset about the lack of discussion on last night's episode relating to Jenny's disgusting and upsetting post, and I've also seen all the tweets and wanting to know what's been done about those posts. He then provided some important context. The Watch What Happens Live episode was taped last Wednesday, January 19th, just as Nguyen's posts were going viral. Quote, I just want to say, Andy added during the January 24th radio show, in case anyone doesn't realize it, that there are many serious discussions happening right now about everything, and I can't address the situation right now, but it will be addressed very soon. Thank you for your patience. Lisa, along with every other Real Housewives of Salt Lake City cast member, except for Mary Cosby, has since condemned Nguyen's posts. Nguyen herself called them offensive when apologizing on January 19th. Quote, I want to acknowledge and apologize for my deleted Facebook post from 2020 that resurfaced today, Nguyen wrote in a statement, sharing to her Instagram and Twitter. At the time, I thought I was speaking out against violence, but I have since learned how offensive and hurtful my words were. She added that she was, quote, sincerely sorry for the pain the post caused. Season 2 of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is currently playing out Sundays on Bravo. Okay. Many, many thoughts about this, and I apologize if you're not a Salt Lake City fan or a Bravo fan or a reality TV show fan, which is totally fine, but I'm going to start with this. Is she sorry that she did it, or is she sorry that she got caught? That's always the question that I wonder when people who, have old tweets or posts or something resurface, because, we live in cancel culture, which is a very, controversial subject matter. I know, but, I saw some of the posts that she posted. I'm not going to talk about it because I think it's highly inappropriate. It's also just not, I'm not going to put that type of energy out in the world. But let me tell you something. What she put out in the world, I know people in my personal life who adhered to that or subscribed to that belief system, if you want to call it that or whatever. And let me tell you, they were cut out of my life very quickly because it's very telling how it's okay. If you think the way that Jenny, whatever her name is, however you pronounce it. I'm not being shady, I just don't know how to pronounce it properly. If you subscribe to that type of belief system where you think what she thought about the Black Lives Matter movement, again, Google it yourself. I'm not gonna put that energy out on my show, which is a happy place. And you believe that internally and you don't speak about it publicly, that's you. That's on you, girl. You do you. But if you put that on a public platform like Instagram, Facebook, whatever, TikTok, it lives forever. Even if you delete it, people will always find it. Cancel culture, it's there. It's like the Crypt Keeper, I'm quoting Fear Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, I'm like the Crypt Keeper. What do they call it? The Piper always comes to collect. You always have to pay the Pied Piper. And in this case, the Pied Piper is like social media. So, but then there's also been this ongoing discussion about how Bravo gives a platform to a lot of problematic individuals like Jen Shah, Erica Jane, even though, Erica Jane, it was all on Tom, but if you know. Obviously, everything was Stassi and Kristen and then Jax. And it's really like it seems as though a substantial percentage of Bravo's franchise cast members, those who are on the payroll, seem to be a little bit problematic in terms of having done something controversial. Again, not all, but a fair few. So it seems as though Bravo really needs to go through their casts and those individuals who are on their payroll and really stop, giving a platform to those who, don't have such great stuff out there. Again, I don't watch the franchise, but I've heard a lot about it, obviously. The Jen Shah of it all has been very public. So I think it was a good move, but it's also like, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say because I don't want to put any, I don't want to defame anyone, but I have heard some blinds and some whisperings about, some higher ups in Bravo's, castings and whatnot, or those who are employed. I'm not going to leave it at that. So, what is it saying? Good tidings to you or when somebody... Happy trails. So, yeah, I guess that's that on that. Whatever. Second story, as well as the third and fourth, are all about our queen, Kimmy K. So the first story comes from TMZ. Like, it seems as though history is really repeating itself, especially with the story here. Kim Kardashian, no new Ray J sex tape on laptop Kanye retrieved. Okay, There's apparently only one Kim Kardashian and Ray J sex tape in the universe, and while Kim's thankful Kanye recently retrieved a laptop with footage from Ray, we're told we are in TMZ. There's nothing sexual about the unseen content. Kanye made waves during his Hollywood Unlocked interview Monday when he shared he delivered the device to Kim during her recent stint on SNL, causing her to cry happy tears when she saw it. Okay, Kanye did this interview, by the way, with Hollywood Unlocked, and so much tea is spilled about his children, about Kim, about their separation, about Julia, about everything going on, and about sort of how he feels. I mean, it's a really actually fascinating interview. I haven't heard it, but I've read a lot of excerpts from the conversation. He's very open, Kanye, which is something I've always liked about him. Anyways, continuing this article, many speculated the laptop contained a rumored sex tape between Ray J and Kim, but a rep for Kim tells TMZ that's just not the case. Quote, after review, there was nothing sexual unseen, only footage on the plane on the way to Mexico and footage at a club and restaurant on the same trip. Kim remains firm in her belief that there is no new second sep, that there is no new second sex tape that exists. Page 6 first had the statement. Sources close to Kim tell TMZ, while the sex tape has been a source of embarrassment, she won't forget Kanye's gesture in retrieving the material from Ray J. I mean, of course, Kanye's not gonna, you know, let the mother of his children be slandered in the public. Of course not! Even if they have bad blood or they're going through a rough patch. I believe that. I really do. The source notes that both Kim and Kanye are sensitive as co-parents, and how the continued talk of the tape may affect their kids, quote, especially when it's continued to be brought up in a way that's thoughtless and intended to cause more pain. Interestingly, it's been Ray J's former manager, Wack 100, who teased the existence of a second sex tape since last year. Ugh, this guy's just trying to get clickbait or like dollars, whatever, obviously. And Kanye's been hanging with Wack lately. Kanye says he had met with Ray in Florida and was given the laptop. It sounds like Kim wants to leave the sex tape stuff behind, with her rep telling us, quote, after 20 years, she truly wishes to move on from this chapter with focus instead of the After 20 years, she truly wishes to move on from this chapter with focus instead of the positive things she continues to do as a mother, entrepreneur, and advocate for justice reform. 20 years, you guys. Can you believe it's been 20 years since Kim K has been public and famous? I mean, I never watched that tape. I don't ever plan on watching that tape, but obviously, you know what? I did not hear about Kim via the tape. I heard about Kim when she was paparazzi with Paris in Australia carrying those Marukami or Monogram Louis Vuitton bags, those shiny bags. That's when I was first introduced to Kim K, and I was like, who is this girl? She's iconic. She's besties with the queen of pop culture, Paris Hilton. And literally, I fell in love with her. And then, of course, the rest, you know, is history. But yeah, after 20 years, Kim is not that girl. I don't even believe she was that girl. She was in a relationship with Ray J. They happened to make an intimate tape. This man released it, and, you know, his intent obviously was ill, and shame on you, Ray J, shame on you. Although I do like Brandy a lot. Brandy's his sister. With me and Brandy, it's always going to be Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella. With Brandy, Whoopi Goldberg, Victor Garber, Bernadette Peters. Iconic cast. And of course, Whitney Houston is the godmother. So, I don't know, but good for Kanye. I also had another thought about Kanye. Yeah, I mean, I hope their co-parenting is going well. But anyway, speaking of Kim's justice reform and all she's doing in the world, our next story is from E! Online. I'm going to switch stories. Our next story is also from TMZ. Kim Kardashian coffee shop stop with Hillary and Chelsea Clinton. I almost screamed when I saw this headline, by the way. It came out on Monday, and I was just like, oh my god, Kimmy K, Hillary Clinton, and Chelsea Clinton all hanging out together? This is beyond iconic. Okay, Kim Kardashian is back in the political sphere, this time hooking up with Hillary and Chelsea Clinton at a local black-owned coffee shop in LA with an important mission. The trio was spotted Monday at Hot and Cold Cool Cafe in Canoga Park. Oh, I've been to Canoga Park many a time, by the way. That's where I go and get my Botox. No shade. On myself. They were also joined by a camera crew, though TMZ sources say it wasn't for the upcoming Kardashian project on Hulu. It's for Gutsy Women, a Clinton-led show for Apple Plus. Hot and Cool was founded in 2018 and features a vegan menu. According to the cafe's website, the owners chose the area because residents had historically faced challenges in trying to find healthy and convenient food options. Not only that, the cafe is known for hiring formerly incarcerated people in underdeserved youth, something Kim has really been an advocate of recently. That's amazing. I've never heard of this place, but I'm gonna go now because that is the type of environment, that is the type of business model I support and I want to give my money to. And you should too. If you live in LA, go to Canoga Park and go to this place. Gutsy Women is a show featuring a cast of diverse and trailblazing women, hence the stop in LA to highlight agency's owners, Tina Amin and Tony Jolly. This is a new wrinkle, publicly at least, in Kim's profile as an advocate for the less fortunate. As you know, she's been pushing prison reform, visiting, speaking at the White House while Trump was in office, and she's inching closer to becoming an attorney to continue her work. Okay, look, I have many thoughts about this. First of all, this is just one of the many, many reasons I love Kimmy K, Kimberly Noel Kardashian West, and why she's an inspiration, how she's using her platform for good, how she is such a boss. you know, from Skims to makeup to reality show to actress to now prison reform advocate, and brushing shoulders with Hillary and Chelsea Clinton. I am so sorry, but Hillary and Chelsea are of an elite status, and they would not just, you know, bring anyone onto their show. So this means Kim has officially, you know, solidified herself as a real advocate and individual, an influential person who can literally make change happen. So this is so incredible. I'm definitely going to check this out, specifically this episode. By the way, Chelsea, her hair, I can't even. It looks amazing. It looks major. Hill Clinton, always looking fly. And Kim is wearing these, like, lime green boots. Looking iconic, as always. I saw some TikTokers who happen to live in the area, got a glimpse of Kimmy K walking. So love TikTok. Always, you know, finding everybody out and about in the world, in the celebrity world. Love it. So fabulous. This is just fabulous news. And our third story, a little bit of a humor news, is from E! Online. Kim Kardashian can't stop laughing after revealing what makes her, quote, horny. Ooh, oh my goodness. How, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? It's not shady. How personal. Kim Kardashian just spilled what really turns her on. And no, it's not her boyfriend, Pete Davidson. Things got personal when the Keeping Up with the Kardashians alum took to her Instagram stories on Jan 25th to promote her new KKW fragrances collaboration with celebrity florist Jeff Lethem. Wearing a black leather belted trench, matching gloves, and a Prada coin purse wristlet, Kim walked with her fans through the collection's trio of perfumes, including the iconic Gardenia, which just drops before Valentine's Day on January 26th at 12 p.m. on kkwfragrance.com. Oh, love a little promotion, E. Describing the, quote, white floral scent, which she said fans of her original Crystal Gardenia perfume will love, Kim described the $40 fragrance as having top notes of honeysuckle, mandarin, and orange blossom. As for the middle notes of Gardenia, tuberose, and jasmine, Kim said that the mix can be quite stimulating. Quote, that threesome literally makes me horny, Kim revealed before cracking up. As she continued to describe the perfume's dry notes of vanilla, orchid, tonka bean, and sandalwood, the 41-year-old beauty mogul couldn't stop giggling. Clearly, stimulating scent isn't the only thing making Kim smile these days. The Skims founder, who is in the midst of a divorce from Kanye West, is still going strong with Pete. Blah, 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 blah. This article goes on to discuss that. Well, I'm not a perfume girly. I'm not a perfume girly, nor am I a, what's the other one? Perfume and cologne. I don't like smells. I mean, I used to wear Acqua D by Giorgio Armani when I was in high school, and I actually really liked it, but then I kind of got allergies to everything. Like, everything gives me allergies, and I don't like scents, because I just don't. But Kim is obviously a master fortune doing fragrances as well, so girl, Paris. So congratulations to Kim, and I'm really glad, you know, that Kim is giggly and giddy and happy. You know, it could be the business, it could be, you know, everything going well in her life, it could be Pete, nobody really knows. But whatever is making Kim happy, living for it, honey, living for it. And thus we bring ourselves to our 5th final story today. Now, this is a story that I really, 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 really have been invested in, because that's to do with two things that I love. Peter Dinklage, obviously Tyrion Lannister on Game of Thrones, and I also saw him in LA. I've talked about this on the podcast many a time. And Disney. But there is no meeting of the minds here. So let's chat about this. Peter Dinklage slams woke Snow White reboot, calls it, quote, backwards story. So there's been an update to this, but first I'm going to read you the original story and then we'll read the update. Peter Dinklage thinks Disney going woke for Snow White missed the mark entirely, because the story itself is offensive, especially towards little people. The Game of Thrones star, The Game of Thrones star, who was born with a form of dwarfism, slammed the reboot that's in the works right now, telling Mark Maron on his podcast that he thinks the Mouse House is being hypocritical and disingenuous. On the one hand, Dinklage says that they're clearly trying to be progressive by casting Rachel Zegler, who's Latina as Snow White, which, by the way, she played Maria and Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, and is supremely talented. And she's beautiful, too, but her voice is, like, of the angels. But by the same token, he explains they're still making a movie based on a effing backwards story. Peter Dinklage goes on to mention the fairy tale is, in essence, about seven dwarves who are painted as primitive and mystical creatures saying that they live in a cave, which isn't quite right. They live in a cottage in the woods, but you get his point. Of course, Snow White has also been called ableist over the years, especially as it relates to Dopey, who's portrayed as a naive idiot. In fact, all the dwarves are treated as children by Snow White, both in the movie and the OG fairy tale, which is what Dink's beef really seems to be about. He says, quote, have I done nothing to advance the cause from my soapbox? I guess I'm not loud enough. Seems like He's half kidding here, but still, you can tell he's irked by this. As you may know by now, Peter Dinklage has made a name for himself over the past decade, plus turning in award-winning dramatic performances and really paving the way for little people to be taken seriously as actors. Sounds like he thinks Disney is simply out to appease one group of people with their new take on Snow White, but completely ignoring another and coming off as tone deaf in the process. Okay. And by the way, there is an update. Before I read the update, I want to say I agree with everything he's saying. He is... Okay. When I watched the pilot of Game of Thrones, and I first saw it, and I saw Peter Dinklage, the series alluded to him, I believe, as, quote, I'm quoting Game of Thrones, an imp. Arya says that to Richard Madden's character, Robb Stark. Where's the imp, you know? So, obviously, Peter Dinklage was aware, I'm sure, because he wouldn't have signed into the show if he wasn't okay with that, or, you know, he probably would have asked him to change it. But his character... Obviously, he was a Lannister. Cersei and Jaime were not. I don't want to term this inappropriately, but they were Jaime and Cersei were Lena Headey and Nikolai Calder-Wasto. That's who they were. Peter Dinklage was so. I mean, I can't even tell you how many monologues this actor gave. That were incredible. And when you would watch him on screen, you would see nothing but one of the best written characters. Him and arguably Lena Headey, to me personally, were the most talented. His speech when he's on trial for allegedly killing Joffrey, and he says, "But I would do it again." And also his final speech when he's saying how Bran the Broken should be the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms. If you know, you know. And also his role, and I've said this before, in X-Men, Days of Future Past, is one of my favorites of all time. Love him, but I went off on a bit of a tangent there because I'm such a big fan of his. And when I saw him on Outside of Catch in LA, I literally freaked out. I was with my cousin, I was like, "Oh, Peter Dinklage!" And how I knew it was him? Because I looked into his eyes, and I was like, oh my god. Because he has those, like, rich eyes that are like, oh my god. Okay, so I totally get this, and I actually kind of agree with him. So... That leads us to the update, which is Disney has responded saying, quote, "To avoid reinforcing stereotypes from the original animated film, we are taking a different approach with these seven characters and have been consulting with members of the dwarfism community," which, by the way, is problematic in itself right there. "We look forward to sharing more as the film heads into production after a lengthy development period." They just literally contradicted themselves wholeheartedly and basically gave a nod to how Peter Dinklage is right by saying, "by members of the dwarfism community." Why not just say, in essence, what he's saying is that it is woke, and it seems as though they're making it just to cover their bases or sort of correct how back in the day when this film was, the animated version was made, how wrong it was. I personally agree with him. I don't think Disney's statement did anything to help them. That's my personal opinion. And I think what they should do now is whoever was directing this film, get rid of them, have Peter Dinklage come in and make it Snow White and the Seven. I don't know. Snow White and the Seven. Let's see. What if the film was just called Snow White? Okay. And instead of going, running away from the Queens and going to the forest, she... Let's see, what she, like, ends up... Because there's animals and deers. Why not Snow White and the Land of the Animals? Snow White and the Land of the Deers. And it's Disney, so it's animation. And obviously Mary Poppins, the one with... Mary Poppins Returns with Emily Blunt. The animation was talking and living and, you know... I don't know, I'm not a film creator, but I am saying... I say all this to say, I totally agree wholeheartedly with Peter Dinklage. I think that Disney should not do this project because it is very problematic. And that's my thought on that. So, definitely feeling Peter Dinklage, so, yeah. Anyways, that's just me, you know, pish posh is posh. And those are 5 stories of the day. Well, there's more. There's literally so much going on, but, like, I just can't. I want to save it all for Friday. You know, maybe doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday might not work out for me because there's literally so much I want to talk about, so maybe I'm just going to go back to doing 5 a week. But we're going to see. We're going to see. So, anyways, thank you as always for tuning in, everybody. I hope you have a fabulous hump day Wednesday. I'm Andrew DeVitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture. If you want, you can stream the rest of my episodes. I think 560 of them now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox Radio, iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone, basically anywhere where a podcast stream, just, you know, type in Andrew DeVitri, AndrewDeVitri, or the Mistress of Pop Culture. Check me out on TikTok, post a lot of great stuff, and I love TikTok, I love ticking and talking, I love being, you know, in the world of the Gen Zers, you know? So with that being said, that's all I got for you. Have a great day, and we'll chat soon, girl. Bye.